Good morning, and welcome to Osage Baptist Church, and thank you for inviting us into your home this morning. I'm going to ask God to bless this time together as we pray. Lord, I pray for the lonely and those who are in nursing homes or hospitals, unable to be with loved ones. I pray for our community and its leaders, especially the president and his staff, as they navigate our nation through this time. I lift up Osage Baptist Church and the leadership here. I pray for this online ministry that more people will hear and believe the message of your love and grace. I pray for those who are spiritually lonely, that they would hear the truth of the gospel and respond. God, I thank you for your spirit that dwells in us. Thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us, no matter what the circumstance. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'm standing on the solid rock. One, two, three. Through my disappointment, strife, and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain, or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now whisper to guide me, from temptation hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on the solid rock I'll stand. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
All righty, Brother Roger.
Good morning, Jose. Good morning, James. Glad to be here with you this week. Spoke with Siloam Springs. Right now, they are still going forward on having camp this summer, but they will be making a decision May 1st on what's going to take place, if they're going to have to cancel a few weeks or whatever. So we'll stay in contact. They are supposed to call me and let me know as soon as it is made and or put it on their Facebook and stuff. So also want to ask you, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, me and Holly, well, let me take that back. Holly is going to do something a little different. We're going to go live on our Facebook page for you guys. And, you know, we've missed out on some birthdays and stuff, so we're going to prepare, she's going to prepare a cake for you. And live, yep, you're going to want to see this. She's going to be a little bit out of her comfort zone, so, but we're coming for you guys to wish y'all a happy birthday. You know, right now, you've got a lot of time on your hands, not just sanitizer, but time. And, you know, we've all had a lot of time to really think about ourselves, what's going on, others, growing in Christ. I went fishing the other morning, and a place where me and my grandpa went when I was a kid, and it's kind of my getaway spot. You know, I like to go there. I go by myself. It's quiet on the river. But I went trout fishing. And for you all that, you know, don't know anything about trout fishing, it's a little different.
It's different than just going to the creek or going to the pond and fishing. Trout are very finicky. They're very picky fish, and you got to use a few tricks to catch them. And, you know, you can't just throw anything to them to catch them. You can't use any kind of line. You can't use any kind of bait. And, you know, it really got me to thinking about some scripture. And you guys, as well as parents, any of you, you know, in Matthew 4, 18 through 20, it talked Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Guys, you all can reach people that I can't reach. You guys have baits in your tackle box that I don't have, that you can go out and reach people. Adults, that's the same way. You know people, have relationships with people that you can get to them before, you know, or better than what any of us can. You know, teens, you can relate on media or whatever to reach people. You know, we're starting to see a light at the end of this tunnel on when we might be able to meet again. And I just, you know, God's really dealt with me about how many people we're going to have come through this door. Now, we need to be ready to catch them when they get here. And, you know, teens, this last year before we went into this lockdown, we had a study on Wednesday nights. We did the Alpha series on why we believe what we believe and why we who we are. And then we went into the Overcomer and did the Bible study, and we got right in the middle of that whenever this all started taking place. And I want you to remember the question I asked you that would come up again during that Bible study is, who are you? Who has God created you to be? Who are you? You've had plenty of time to figure out who you are. You know, and just what does God want you to do, and where does he want you to be, and who does he want you to lead? So just remember that, you know, as we start getting ready to maybe get to come back and worship together. And just we pray for you guys. We miss you all, and hope you the best.
Good morning. Good morning, Osage. Good morning, Awana leaders. And good morning, Awana kids. TNTers, how many of you worked on your verse last week? Have I had a few. One, actually, that has told me they passed their verse. Last week's verse was James 1:5. This week's lesson or verse, everyone should pass. It is John 14:15. Short, it's very powerful. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. That is a powerful verse. Very simply, it means to obey. Obedience to God is just showing him that you love him and that you honor him. It isn't about a list of rules. It isn't about doing things your way or my way. It's about loving him and showing others that you love him and that you have a relationship with him. So I put this verse, John 14:15, on Facebook on Wednesday. However, I'm not sure why it's posting as a visitor, so you'll have to search for it. But it is there. Memorize the verse, find the post, and let me know that you've passed it. I expect a lot of comments or texts this week. Cubbies, I have a message for you. Miss Becky said she put packets in the mail to you on Thursday, so you should either have them or be getting them. She loves you and she misses you. Sparks, Miss Jen said she put packets in the mail to you. You should have them, and a leader will be calling you to see if you want to pass some verses or finish your book. You can call the church to get Miss Jen's phone number if you would like to speak with her. She loves you and she misses you as well. Leaders, I want to ask, have you reached out to your clubbers? Because if you have not, I would ask you to consider doing that this week. Make sure that they're okay, and make sure that they know we love them. Clubbers, I'm praying for all of you. I do love you, and I do miss you, and I can't wait till we're back together.
Got just a few announcements to make this morning. There will be a church council meeting on the 29th at 6 o'clock. If you can make it, we're going to be practicing social distancing and precaution for everyone who would attend. But if you don't feel comfortable attending, please don't feel pressured to do so. Hopefully, we'll be discussing how we might be able to return to fellowship here and what that looks like. So. Also, we continue to be blessed as a church by your faithful giving, even in this time of social distancing. Your support and your faithfulness is unwavering, and we thank you so much for that support. A few prayer requests this morning. I want to just lift up the Colbert family and Jim Colbert. He is home now, and thank you all for your prayers for Jim. I hope this time has given you all some perspective. It definitely has given me perspective on what is church. What is church? And I know I've preached on this a lot. You know, people were having relationship with the Lord without a building. They were having relationship with the Lord without gathering or attendance in a building. And I would urge you that church starts at home. I'm encouraged by these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and for your salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We look forward to the day that we can meet together in person. I hope you're blessed by the music and the message this morning. If you don't know Jesus, please respond to him this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Near to the heart of God. One, two, three.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless, Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. To wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where our Savior meets, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless, Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart. Of full release near to the heart.
place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless, Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait. This song says it all. We believe. One, two, three, four. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one salvation. We believe, we believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one foundation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the song we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. We love in vain that the church live well. We'll say we believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ.
Sing it out.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life.
We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again.
Quick shout out to Miss Monica and
Miss Deb, as they come every Saturday, and sometimes I throw them a curveball, and they are staying right with me. So I want to publicly thank them for their dedication to this. Without them, I could not do what I am doing and lead worship for you all. And also a big shout out to Tom and Larry as they're at home, and miss you both, and hope to see you back here sometime. All righty. Song was asked of me to sing, for the last several weeks. So just a good reminder of sometimes we just need to listen to what God is telling us. This song is called Word of God Speak. Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet we'll hear your voice. Word of God speak. Would you pour down my cream, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny, it's okay. All right. We've got one more song for you. This song has been on my heart for a very long time. I'm going to ask Michaela, as you see her come in the picture right now. My daughter Michaela is going to sing this song with me. This song is simply called The Blessing, and it comes from Numbers 6:24 through 36, and it is almost verbatim, word for word. The Lord bless you. I'll set the story up. The Lord was talking with Moses and told him to tell Aaron and the people of Israel as he was leading them through the wilderness, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That is Numbers 6, 24 through 26. This song is called The Blessing. We want to give this out to all of our church family and your families as well. We just dedicate this song to you and hope everyone is doing okay. And know that the Lord is blessing us still today. The Lord bless you. Face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. Shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you. Rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for you. Amen.
Pastor Lanny.
2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, now pay attention, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There's what we're looking for. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. We're in the middle of that right now. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation. Now the King James uses consolation here. Some translation uses the word healing. And that's how it comes out. And I think that we're not used to using that word consolation, but we are used to healing. And so our healing also aboundeth by Christ. So he uses this word several times, about four times in this passage. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your, here's the word again, consolation or healing and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be, here's the word again, comforted or healed, it is for your consolation and salvation. It's for your healing, for your comfort and salvation. Verse 7 says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation or of the healing. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You also helping together by praying for us. That's a good deal, right? That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. If I could give this message a title today, I would say Comfort in Trouble. And there are folks that no doubt are in a much greater stress than I am, or some of us are. And so we want to pray for those and lift those up. But I think that the Bible wants to speak to our hearts today about this time of epidemic, of this time of the coronavirus in our country and all over the world. So God gives us comfort in trouble. I'll tell you that song, Mike, just bless my heart. Number one, trouble, a reality in a fallen world. We've talked about that almost every Sunday, that we have this because we live in a fallen world. Job said in Job 5 and verse 7, man is born of trouble as the sparks fly upward. He also said in the 14th chapter in verse 1, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. In Jeremiah 20 and verse 18, the Bible says, why did I ever come forth from the womb to look on trouble and sorrow so that my days have been spent in shame? Now, we know that all of life is not that way. It just seems that way sometimes. And perhaps in your life right now, because of what is going on, because of everything that is around us, and because of the lockdown that we are going through as a nation, that you feel like that this trouble is going to last from now on, or that it's been this way all along in your life. But really, it's not. God has a purpose for this happening in our lives, a purpose for this going on in your life and in my life. Secondly, to add to the pain, there are times in our trouble when God seems far away. Does it ever seem to you that when you pray that you're not getting an answer? And maybe the prayers don't go any farther than the ceiling, and that you're just mumbling words and you don't expect God to answer. You don't expect to hear from God. Well, you're not the first one that's felt that way. Lots of Christians feel that way in their life. In Job, the 13th chapter and verse 24, "Why do you hide your face and consider me an enemy?" is what Job said when he was going through his trouble. Well, we know that even in Job, that God was near and God was working in his life, and God was allowing those things in order to build Job. And I believe that God's allowing these things in your life and in my life in order to build us, maybe for something ahead. And the psalmist said in Psalms 10 and verse 1, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in time of trouble?" It seems that way. I know it's not that way, but it seems that way sometimes, that whenever we're facing trouble and we're praying for a loved one that's sick, or maybe someone that is dying, and we're praying for them and it doesn't seem like that we're getting any answer or that our prayers are going anywhere. Well, I want you to know today that God is very near, and He does hear that. Number three, why does God allow trouble in our life? Why does bad things happen to good people? Well, I want to give you eight reasons why God allows trouble in the life of His people. Number one, God allows bad things to happen to His people to test their faith. Now, we're going to be doing some Bible drilling here. So you're going to need to get your Bible and start turning to those passages. You Bible drillers won't have any trouble with this, but some of us that are a little slower may have a little trouble keeping up. But in the book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter and verse 3, the Bible says, "The Lord tests hearts." The Lord tests hearts. And I don't think it's so much that God doesn't know. I think God knows what's in our heart. He knows all. He has all knowledge. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what's in our thoughts. Matter of fact, the Bible says that He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows what we're going to think. Not just what we've thought, but what we're going to think and what our thoughts are like, even our secret thoughts. God knows all about it. And He tests our heart, I think, for us to see. There's a story in 2 Chronicles, and I'd like for us to turn to that. I've got an advantage because I marked them ahead of time, because we're going to try to really cover a lot of scripture today. 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter and verse 31. This is a story about Hezekiah, and you want to go back later and read this. Starting with verse 31, well, just verse 31 in the 32nd chapter, Hezekiah was a good king, and God had really blessed him. But in one of the translations that I use, this says the sin of Hezekiah. And in verse 31, it says, Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the prince of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him. Did you see it? God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, I think that God knew all that was in Hezekiah's heart, but I'm not sure that Hezekiah knew all that was in his heart, what he was like. So is it possible that God allows trouble in the life of a Christian to test their heart? In the book of Deuteronomy, turn back, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I've got it marked, so mine should, I didn't have this one marked, so bear with me. Deuteronomy 8, and look at verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. Now, here it is again. To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. You see, when everything is going easy, there's no test in our life. There's nothing to prove us. The paychecks are coming in. We're paying the light bill. We're paying the rent. We're keeping the car payment made. There's nothing to test us. But then when that is shut down and we turn our attention toward God, someone said that when we discover that Jesus is the only thing that we have, he's the only thing that we need. God allows bad things to happen to his people to wean them from the world. Over in the book of John, the 6th chapter, and verse 5. This is a great passage. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. Now, you got to find out what's going on here. When he talks about a great company, we discovered this is several thousand people. 5,000 or 6,000 men, maybe as many as 10,000 folks that are coming. They're following. They're coming to hear Jesus, to be close to Jesus. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? That's great. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. In verse 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. I believe Jesus already knows what he's going to do in our life. I think Jesus already knows how he's going to make the provision for our life. He tells us in his word to consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't spin, they don't gather in the barns, but God takes care of them. He talks about the sparrows, and he knows them. And then he talks about knowing the very number of the hairs on our head. He knows all there is to know about us, and the provision that he's going to make for us, he's already made. When you read that story, when Jesus is testing Philip, see how Philip is going to respond, Philip failed the test. And he said, you couldn't take a half a year's wages, feed all these people. And Jesus said, what do we got? Well, we've got a little boy that's brought his lunch with him. Some fish, a few fish, and a few little pieces of bread. Jesus said, have all of them to sit down. There's Tim's whacker. Have all the people to sit down in groups. And when it came time, they were all fed, and when it come time to gather up what was left over, there was 12 basketfuls left over. He can take care of us, and he's going to. And he allows those things to happen to us to wean us off the world, to wean us off the dependence that we have. Moses was holding on to a staff, and God said to Moses, "What's that in your hand?" And he said, "Well, it's the staff. It's my rod. It's that that I use to protect myself. It's that that I use to beat off the wild animals with. It's that that I use to help the sheep when they get in trouble." And God said, "Throw it on the ground. This may be mine and your first opportunity to throw it on the ground." He said to Moses, "Throw it on the ground." And Moses threw it on the ground. And you remember what happened? It became a snake. And God said to Moses, "Pick it back up by the tail." Now you read the story. This is exactly what he said. "Pick it back up by the tail." Now, do you and I realize that when we pick a snake up by the tail, that it leaves the business end of that open to do what it would do as a snake? When you and I pick it up by the tail, when we pick that business up by the tail, it leaves the main part of that for God to take care of. That's where we need to be as Christians. Number three, God allows bad things to happen to his people to call them to their heavenly hope. A couple of passages here I want us to look at. One is in the book of Romans, the fifth chapter, and look down at verse 3. One thing that I've noticed about having the opportunity to visit with older folks, and now I'm one of those older folks, but to visit with older folks through the years, that I've noticed that the older that folks get who are Christians, the greater their vision gets for heaven, the more they're looking forward to heaven. They get their sights set on heaven. And God wants, no matter what our age is, God wants our sights to be set on heaven. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Did you hear that? What does it mean to glory in tribulation? Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This word tribulation comes from the word tribulant. And the word tribulant was the name of a great stone that was used to thresh wheat. And the wheat were gathered into the tribulant, into the threshing floor, and the tribulant, this huge stone, would be either rolled or drug across the top of the wheat. And it would put pressure on the wheat, and then the winnower would use the winnowing fork, and he would pick the wheat up, and they would be up someplace where the wind was blowing. He'd throw the wheat up in the air, and the wind would move the chaff away from the wheat, and the pure wheat would fall back to the ground. Well, that they were able to bring the pure wheat out of the chaff because they used tribulation. They used pressure in order to bring that out. God allows pressure in our life to bring the purity of our life out, to bring the real stuff out in our life. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 17. "For our light afflictions," you may not feel like it's light, but it is, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Keep your eyes on heaven. Number four, God allows trials in our life to prove what we really love. Go back to the book of Genesis, very first book of the Bible. Genesis and look at verse, and I got this one marked, verse 22. Look at verse 1. You got it? And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. Now, we'll make a discovery as we read the whole counsel of God that God does not tempt people with sin. He doesn't. It's what the Bible teaches. So this word means that he's putting Abraham to the test. And he may put us to the test, but he puts Abraham to the test. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt her, he tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. That's where we need to be. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So God is allowing these trials in our life in order to prove what we really love. So he is, if you read the story, you're going to make that discovery that he says, Now I know that you love me. He offered his son, but he offered also, he gave a way out. He gave a ram caught in the bushes. And God made a provision for that. And he said, Now I know that you're not going to put anything before me. And so he allows test in our life. It's possible for us, for you and for me, to get our eyes off the blesser and on to the blessing. We make a tragic mistake when we do that. Number five, God allows bad things to happen to his people to teach us obedience. So take your Bible and turn, fold it up and turn right in the middle. And you're going to turn to the book of Psalms. And in the book of Psalms 119, and look at verse 67. And here's what the psalmist said. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. And then he says in verse 68, Thou art good and dost good. Teach me thy statutes. Over in the book of Hebrews, so we're going from the Old Testament back to the New Testament, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, look down at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Did you get that? All are partakers. If you're his kids, everybody's going to get a spanking now and then. Then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and life? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, look at it, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Number six, God allows bad things to happen to his people so he can reveal his compassion to them. We talked about that a little bit last week. Back over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 63, if I can find it, I know they didn't move it. Psalm 63 and verse 3. God allows bad things to happen to his people so he can reveal his compassion to them. Verse 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Number 7, God allows bad things to happen to his people to strengthen them for greater usefulness. Now that worries me a little bit. Hebrews, the next book over is the book of James. Hebrews, James, I'll find it one of these days. Chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy. Did you see it? Count it all joy. Now that, we need to exercise that right in the middle of this deal. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Number 8, you didn't think I was ever going to get here. God allows bad things to happen to his people to enable them to comfort others in their trials. Now, a couple of passages, one over in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke 22, and look at verse 31. God allows bad things to happen to his people to enable them to comfort others in their trials. Now, I know that this message has been a little bit long. Have you got something else you need to do? Just sit there on the couch and enjoy this. This is fun. Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Did you get it? Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You see, God has a plan in our life. And his plan is that there's to be joy in our life. God has a plan in our life to build us and make us strong and to allow us to be more like Jesus. But Satan also has a plan in our life. And his plan for Peter's life was that he'd sift him as wheat. But here the Lord says, I've prayed for you, Peter. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now look at this. Look at this. This is so good. And when thou art converted. Now, does that mean that Peter hadn't been saved yet? Oh, I think he had been. When you look at this word converted, what does it mean to convert something? The torque converter in a transmission moves the power of the motor to the back wheels. It converts it. The transformer on the pole outside of your house transforms and converts that electricity into a form that is usable for you. It means that a change has taken place. And sometimes I think that folks can be Christians for several years and they're, as far as conversion, as far as being saved, they're saved. But a change takes place where they become really usable for God. And this is what the Lord said, when that change takes place, when you're converted, when the change takes place in your life, strengthen thy brethren. He didn't say, take care of yourself, Peter. He said, when that change takes place in your life, strengthen your brethren. 2 Corinthians. We've read this already, but I want you to look one more time at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I'll tell you something that has impressed me during this time of the coronavirus, and we've been locked down in our house, me and my little brood staying up on the hill at Carrollton. Every day, one of my church members, Travis, has called me and prayed with me every day. Now, you know, you'd think that the pastor would be the one that it should be suggesting praying. But there's been two or three times that Travis has had to say, shall we pray together? And I'm telling you, that has blessed my heart. And he's called every day and prayed with me during this time. So we're to be about this business of comforting others, them that are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. There is a song that has blessed my heart through the years by Annie Johnson Flint, who at the age of 6 had lost both her parents. By her teens, she had developed arthritis and soon after lost the use of her legs. Bedridden, she was covered with sores and lost control of her hands and many of her bodily functions. And it was during that time that she wrote the words to this song. He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he gives multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His powers has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Isn't that good stuff? Mike, come and help us. And let's give an invitation to folks that have not yet trusted Christ as their Savior. Some of you that are watching this today have already received Christ as your Savior. Some of you are strong Christians. You love the Lord with all your heart. You're doing a good job. Will you just stop right now and pray for those folks who do not yet know Christ as their Savior? The most important decision that you could possibly ever make in your life is what you do with Jesus. If you're a dad, you can only be a good dad by being a Christian. If you're a mom, you can only be a good mom by being a Christian. It doesn't mean that you don't love your family and love your kids, or your wife, your spouse. It doesn't mean that at all. But I'm telling you, God has a plan for your life. And it could be that through this time the Lord's been dealing with your heart, you've had this on your mind about receiving Christ as your Savior, and you just have not yet put that in words. But right now, you want to do that. So how do you do it? How do you do that? Paul said that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God's raised Jesus from the dead, we'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what you must do in order to become a Christian, you you have to verbalize that in your own heart. You have to mean it with all your heart. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me if you're not yet a Christian. And if you don't mean it with all your heart, of course it wouldn't mean anything. And I've already prayed this prayer, so it doesn't mean anything for me to pray it. It won't save me again. You can only be saved once. The Bible says that Jesus came and died on the cross once. And that doesn't mean that you can lose it. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be with you. It's for eternity. No place in the scripture that talks about temporary salvation. It's from now on. So would you just bow your head right now and pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner and lost. Say it out loud. Would you say it out loud, please? Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner and lost. Forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I receive you right now as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now you're going to be able to find some numbers on the website. If you would like to contact us, we want to urge you to do that. Tim's number's on that. Roger's number's on that. My number's on that. Mike's number's on that. If you'd like to call one of us and talk to us, the church number's on it. We'd be delighted to pray with you or talk with you, and just do it. We'd just be glad for you to. And then when this is over, when this lockdown is over, you find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and you become a part of that church. You need to, your next step now is to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. That's your public profession of your faith. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I'll not confess you before the Father. So you need to do that. So follow the Lord in believers' baptism and go to work for Him. Now let me pray for you. I just want to, church, I love you. I'm just looking so forward to when we can come back together. Let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace and mercy. And Lord, I want to pray for those that this morning asked Jesus into their heart as Savior. I just pray that you'd strengthen their life. Lord, I pray that you'd send people into their life to strengthen them, to help them. God, I just pray that for those who are sick, for those that are in the hospitals and the nursing homes, especially, I just want to pray for Brother Bill Howell this morning and that situation in the nursing home and Miss Lee not being able to be with him. I lift that family to you. Lord, I know that that's got to be extremely painful. And I just pray for them, lift them, pray that you'd send grace into their life this morning. We pray again for Brother Russell's dad, Jim, and just pray, God, that you'd continue your healing in Jim's life. I just pray, Lord, that you'd just touch him. I pray that you'd take that pneumonia from him. Lord, that you'd cause the medicine to work, or you'd just touch his life and heal him. Lord, that your hand would be on him. I know there's others that I don't even know their names. People that are in the hospitals and nursing homes that, Lord, that you might reach down and touch them with your healing. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. Now my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power. And abide.